kia ora, ko Katie Scott Chiraho, nei te pūrongo tōrangapū mō tēnei wiki. Welcome to Focus on Politics. This week brought the news no one wanted to hear.
Today we're confirming that there are three new cases of COVID-19 in the community. The three cases detected in the community are a mother, father and daughter from the same South Auckland household in Papatoetoe.
The unstoppable summer stopped dead in its tracks. Three new cases of COVID-19 in the community, all infected with the more transmissible UK variant of the virus.
We don't yet have a complete picture of the potential source of the infection and spread, if any, beyond one household.
It was those unanswered questions that led to this decision, made at an emergency cabinet meeting last Sunday night.
As of 11:59pm tonight, Sunday, February 14, Auckland will move to level 3 for a period of 3 days, until midnight on Wednesday. The rest of New Zealand will move to level 2 for the same period of time.
And within hours, like clockwork, the streets of Auckland emptied, the region's borders closed, and hundreds lined up to get tested.
But nervous that we're at this position again.
I think everyone is obviously concerned. We have done it in the past, we'll do it again.
All is well. It's just what we have to do.
Yes. We know that it's much more transmissible. So that means if we do our part, we can help everybody else stay safe.
The decision to plunge Auckland back into level 3 lockdown was widely supported, even from across the House.
The Green Party agrees with and supports the Labour government's decision to move into level 3 in Auckland and level 2 for the rest of the country on Sunday. We agree with what the government's done. I think that they have been very responsive on many issues.
Order. The government's response to that, we think, was the right decision. With a real absence of information and acknowledging that governments and officials are always dealing with imperfect information when it comes to these situations, the decision to adopt a cautionary approach, or I think some people call it a precautionary approach, is the right thing to do.
Te Pāti Māori would like to commend the government for the work that they've done in our COVID response. We went fast, we went hard, and certainly we see in Aotearoa that is in a better position than a lot in other countries.
While it's not clear where this infection came from, opposition parties were quick to point out gaps in our border protection highlighted by the outbreak. One of the three South Auckland cases, the mother, worked at LSG Sky Chefs, a company which services planes at Auckland Airport. But she worked in the laundry and had no contact with travellers, so wasn't required to undergo mandatory testing. The government's testing guidelines exclude laundry workers because they're not considered airside. LSG Sky Chefs did, however, include her in its own regular testing, but she'd been on annual leave and so wasn't tested for 4 weeks. National's Chris Bishop on Monday called for the government's guidelines to change.
Our strong recommendation is that that order, if indeed it was outside the scope of this particular person, that order be widened so that everyone, no matter if they have contact with international airlines or airline travel, anyone working in and around the border, no matter which part of the company, they are tested.
And the Prime Minister, Jacinda Ardern, says the health order will be reconsidered in light of the South Auckland cluster.
Keeping in mind that for every person that we legally require to be tested, there is a judgment made around whether or not they are high risk or working in high risk environments. You know, a judgment was made this was not a person who travelled airside, this was not a person who had any contact directly with people who may be infected with COVID-19. They were working predominantly in a laundry, and so that's why the employer made a judgment to put them on a testing regime. But we right now are going through the order again, making a judgment on whether or not we need to increase the amount of testing or the scope based on the variants we're seeing and what we're learning. It could change.
As well as broader guidelines for mandatory testing, there have been mounting calls for daily saliva tests to be added to our COVID-19 prevention toolkit. At the end of January, officials started offering voluntary saliva testing to border workers in some MIQ and quarantine facilities. But the government, for now, seems reluctant to make it mandatory for all border workers and recent returnees, citing lab capacity and test reliability. Professor Nick Wilson believes saliva tests could be as reliable as nasal swabs.
Even if it is less reliable, it's because it's done every day, it probably is far superior to just weekly testing when you have that daily approach. And it's much less onerous on staff because it's just a matter of drooling into a container.
Otago University epidemiologist Professor David Skegg told 9 to Noon's Catherine Ryan, New Zealand is lagging behind the rest of the world when it comes to saliva testing.
In Australia, every day, this is just a routine. So and that way you know a lot more quickly that something's gone wrong.
So David, I remember when we were talking about testing frustrations very early in this pandemic, one of the limitations was the capacity in the labs. I heard your colleague this morning saying, Nick Wilson saying, even if the saliva testing is still, we're still learning how effective it is, the fact you're doing it daily can compensate for any shortcomings, right? Because the sheer volume happens.
Absolutely.
So
absolutely.
That being the case, is it likely a lab capacity issue that's causing reluctance here?
Well, it could be. I mean, I've been advocating this and I've been saying it to ministers and so on for months, that, you know, in the UK, they're doing saliva testing on a huge scale. Surely our labs could step up to do the same thing. Obviously, Australia is now managing to do it and has been for a while. Yes, it will put a load on the labs, and I have the impression that perhaps some of our labs don't have the equipment that enables saliva specimens to be processed as quickly for PCR testing. But, you know, we need to get that equipment because, yes, the saliva test may be somewhat less sensitive than a nasopharyngeal swab, but if you're doing it every day, it'll be better. There's no question about that.
The leading public health experts have the political backing of the opposition parties, both National and ACT.
If we're serious about following the science, we need to stop blindly accepting the advice and cabinet of the Ministry of Health and actually look to the evidence, because the evidence is saliva testing around the world is just as accurate as putting things up people's nostrils, which they don't particularly enjoy.
That's ACT's David Seymour. National's leader Judith Collins also wants the less invasive test rolled out on a mandatory basis as soon as possible.
It is simply unacceptable that people are still allowed back into New Zealand and simply have to stay longer in quarantine before they're allowed back out to the community. If the government needs to change the law, as I presume they will, we will assist them to do so. The time has well passed for us to, as a country, to have constant threats of lockdowns and economic ruin for small businesses and for their staff. It is simply not acceptable.
There are some concerns from epidemiologists that we don't have the lab capacity to, I guess, process all of these saliva tests. What would you like the government to do about that?
Then get the capacity. It's as simple as that, really, isn't it?
After 2 days of no community cases and thousands of tests, it looked as if COVID-19 hadn't spread beyond the family in Papatoetoe, and New Zealanders were feeling increasingly optimistic life would soon return to normal. But there was to be one more scare. On Wednesday, the COVID-19 response minister, Chris Hipkins, fronted Parliament's Health Committee via Zoom, just hours before Cabinet reviewed the alert level settings.
We have received notification this morning of two additional cases around our existing three community cases. They are both students. One is a close contact of our existing student, and the other is the sibling of the new close contact or the new case. We'll have more information about that. That's obviously new information that's come to hand. That case investigation process will identify any relevant information and we'll share that in due course.
Another community case was added to the cluster just hours later, a household contact of the two students. That made three new cases in the community, a total now of six. So it came as a surprise to many when Jacinda Ardern announced ministers had decided this.
Cabinet has agreed that as of midnight tonight, Auckland will drop down to alert level 2. The remainder of New Zealand will move to level 1 at midnight tonight.
The easing of restrictions was regarded by some as a serious risk. For one, the source of the original infection remained unknown. Furthermore, there were several hundred test results still outstanding from the wider pool of casual contacts, never mind the three new cases just that day. But unlike the original cases in the cluster, officials knew how the two high school students caught the virus. All of the cases were linked. And Ms. Ardern said with no evidence of any wider community spread, all signs pointed to a contained outbreak.
We make the best decisions we can with the information we've got and with the best advice that I can imagine having. So the decision we've made today still has a level of caution in it, and that gives me a level of comfort.
Checkpoint's Lisa Owen asked Professor of Medicine Des Gorman if he agreed with the logic of the decision.
If level three makes sense, then that means we're accepting a very low level of risk. To go to level two now, when we actually don't know where this outbreak came from, is accepting a moderate level of risk. So the answer to the question is this an appropriate thing to do or not? Depends upon how much risk you're prepared to live with. And the reason why you and I are confused and uneasy is because the level of risk that seems to be operating here is going up and down, and it means it's not predictable.
National's Chris Bishop told Deputy Political Editor Craig McCulloch the government's decision was ambitious.
Quite a big call by the government. We don't have access to the same information they do, obviously, in opposition. But, you know, on the face of it, you'd say a big call. We still don't know the source of the outbreak. On the day it was announced to go down to level two in Auckland and one in the rest of the country, there were still, well, there were another three community cases revealed. And, of course, it's the more transmissible variant, the UK variant, that a lot of people have been worried about because it spreads quite quickly. So, you know, in light of that, you'd say a big call. On the other hand, it does seem to be contained. The chain of transmission is not spreading further. You know, it can all be linked back to the source infection. But we don't know what that source infection is. So there's arguments for and against. I guess what I'm saying is it's a big call.
In your view, does this reflect a change in risk tolerance or a change in approach by the government when it comes to COVID outbreaks?
Well, I think you'd have to conclude that it does, and it's not just me saying that. You've had Professor Des Gorman and other epidemiologists and experts saying that as well. I guess when you look at what we were told when the alert system was developed was that the government would have basically zero tolerance for community transmission, and they would act with an abundance of caution. And so, look, it does seem like a slight raising of the risk threshold, I guess you'd say. All I'd say is ambitious, big call, and, you know, let's really all hope that it's the right decision.
On the other hand, some, like economist and COVID-19 modeller Rodney Jones, have questioned whether the shift up alert levels was necessary in the first place.
There was too much alarm on Sunday. Now, you know, the government made a decision. You don't want a Monday morning quarterback that. But, you know, I think there's a few things. We have a really good toolkit. We've shown we can chase down these leakages. And so you have to distinguish what's a leakage, what's an outbreak. The concern was that this was an outbreak and they moved on that basis. Since then, it looks like a leakage. I just felt there was too much alarm and the commentary, words such as scary being thrown around. We don't want to stay mentally hunkered down. We have to kind of look forward and say there's going to be these leakages. In fact, we may only have a few more weeks of at risk of these leakages. Chase them down, we've contained them. There's not a need for panic, there's not a need for a heightened alarm.
Unsurprisingly, Ms. Ardern defended Cabinet's decision to move Auckland into Alert Level 3. She explained how the restrictions gave officials time to get a better picture of the outbreak. Thousands were getting tested while everyone in Auckland was at home, meaning the virus couldn't spread in the community.
Keep in mind, the information we had at that time was we had someone who was deemed to be, yes, working at a border area, but a low-risk environment where it was seen as less likely to have been able to pick up COVID through their place of work. So it was really incumbent on us to make sure that they hadn't picked it up through some other community channel and that it hadn't been circulating for some time. I think everyone would agree, much better to have 72 hours than make the wrong call and have 72 hours of a community outbreak unchecked.
The Director General of Health, Ashley Bloomfield, this week offered an accurate summary of the pandemic.
COVID-19 can feel like being on a roller coaster that you haven't actually bought a ticket for.
And despite the week's ups and downs, it appears to be ending on a high. The vaccination rollout has begun. The vaccinators themselves were first in line for the jab on Friday afternoon, with the frontline border workers next up over the weekend. Within the next 2 to 3 weeks, 12,000 staff and their families are expected to be vaccinated. The next phase in what often feels like a never-ending fight against COVID-19. That's Focus on Politics. I'm Katie Scotcher. Mā te wā.